The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, I mean, they got to make the decision. They're going to do what they did in spring training. They're going to reach down and say, look, screw all that.
Hanging breaking ball, licked it out to left. Going back on it is Marsh at the track, at the wall. We're tied!
When you get to this time in your life, your existence, to be laying on a champagne-soaked carpet is the top dog. That's it. That's the best.
And the right-hander deals again. This one is hit to right in the corner. It is a fair ball. This is going to be at least two. It could be three. The throw. He's in there.
We've established the winning culture here. I think it's pretty evident.
And a base hit in the right. That's your ball game. And the night the Brewers clinch the National League Central, they walk off the Philadelphia Phillies.
My goodness, these guys are something.
Party till midnight. And then remember, you've got to decide, make the choice that you're going to believe that there's a reason this group ended up first place, wire to wire.
Come see what's brewing. From the Brewers drive-through tailgates, the parking lots at American Family Field, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, joined by the manager of your Milwaukee Brewers, Pat Murphy. Pat, thanks so much for the time, bud.
It's my pleasure, man. It's my pleasure to be here. It's great to see all these fans come out. It's kind of amazing, to be quite honest with you.
A year ago today, do you think you'd be sitting in a parking lot celebrating another Brewers playoff appearance?
I don't think that far ahead. But, hey, man, I'm pretty confident that the Brewers have just done a great job of bringing in the right people. You know, it's not just about our experience or talent. Just the right people, and I love this group. This is a group that, against all odds, they rise to the occasion. So that's been fun.
Coach, we had Robin on earlier in the show, and I asked him a question. I said, how important is it to get that bye in the first round? And I was kind of surprised by his answer. He said, not at all. Right. He said, baseball is meant to be played every day. Do you share that same sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I mean, the first blush is you want to get as high in the seating as you can because it is advantageous. You don't play as many games. Not as many things have to go right. And with our young team and our inexperience and the injuries we've endured and the people we're going to be missing for the playoffs, I mean, yeah, less games would be better. But at the same time, Robin is exactly right. This game's played every day. Our guys get in a rhythm. And when you get in that right rhythm, you know, good things happen.
I know there's a big gap between college baseball and Major League Baseball, but because of the success that you had at the collegiate level, you mentioned how young you are. Do you think that has really helped you kind of connect and help this team grow?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure what I've done, but I know, you know, I've dealt with college guys for a lot of years, but I've been out of the college game since 2009 was the last season. So, you know, that's 15 years doing this. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's just about people. You know, like some of us relate to younger people, some of us don't. I don't know that I do, to be quite honest with you. They drive me freaking crazy, if you want to be honest with you, their mindset. But, I mean, everybody relates to love, you know what I mean? And everybody relates to things like that. And I think we just respect them, you love them, and then you're tough on them, you know, and you let them know the truth. You speak the truth to them, and who cares if they like you? You know, I got to one of these new fangled phones, you know what I mean? I got a whole bunch of contacts. I don't need any more contacts in there, you know what I mean? I don't need friends. And it's like, you know, let's just tell them the truth. And I think they respond to that because it's about their career. And these young guys have just been amazing. And our older leadership group, you know, Yelich and Miley and Willie Adames and Freddie Peralta, those guys, they're at the core of this whole thing. They've created that culture that is really special.
Coach, I come from a football background, and I'll go back to 93. when
he can't, I'll be honest with you, Pat, like he can't. I try to explain to him like a baseball mentality versus football mentality. He just gets lost.
Yeah, I do get lost.
He just can't quite figure it out.
It's all right.
So, Coach, I go back to 93, and you always hear in the NFL how the game speeds up in the playoffs. And I can tell you as a young player, you don't really believe it until you get into it, and then you realize, oh, it really does speed up. Is in baseball, do you have to convey anything to the younger players, the difference between the regular season and the playoffs?
You know, I think you let their fellow teammates do that. You know what I mean? The guys that have been there. And I think you refer to, you know, like, hey, how to create the poise that you need. You know, how to control your emotions, how to control your breathing, how to understand that it is just the same game. Having more at stake doesn't mean you have to try to do more. I think when you just talk about it and relate to it, you know, heart to heart, I think that helps. You know, if you try to force feed something, it comes off as non-genuine, and like, hey, they're trying real hard to force something. I think you let it happen a little bit. And our older guys, they'll be in there talking to our guys, and I think that'll be a real key.
Pat, certainly appreciate the time. I know you're a busy man. Good, this morning. Go grab yourself a breakfast brat and, you know, keep handing out those flags to everybody.
I appreciate it, man. Great. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat Murphy, Brewers manager, joining us here, all part of the Brewers tailgates that's going on here. The drive-through tailgate opportunity with a QR code to, get access to season to tickets for the playoffs and the first couple of games there. Again, like I said, they're handing out the brat. I've got mine here. I'm going to be eating soon here. A little breakfast brat, T-shirts, flags, the whole nine yards. They've got a DJ out here, too. So many cool things that are happening.
Sounds like a party.
Yeah, oh, it is a party, man. It is an absolute party.
Well, I was surprised, Gabe, because I did do a quick drive-by. You know, and I figured before, on the way down, I'm like, all right, 25 cars, 30 cars. That line was wrapped all around the stadium. I mean, people are excited, and they should be.
They absolutely should be excited. Sorry, I just got distracted because Pat Murphy was walking away and he was talking to Ashton, and he thinks he knows me from somewhere, but he's not sure where.
Hey, Chew. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Thanks, buddy. So, Pat, when he was leaving, he just looked at me and he's like, do I know him from somewhere? Like, I don't know, Pat. Maybe. I mean, he's obviously a rock star on the air. He played, you know, level 3 college baseball, so probably you know him. He's like, I swear I know this guy. I must have recruited him or something.
I'm really? Like, wow, that's crazy.
I said, come back and find out.
Wrong.
I don't know.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I wish I was recruited to Arizona State.
Yeah, like, how would it be? Arizona State, great.
Arizona State, slightly different than Platteville.
I was going to wait slightly to ask Joshy during the break, but what's his football background? I had no idea.
I mean, look at him.
I mean, I don't know. He probably just played football in high school. I don't know.
Looks like
he's
a linebacker.
Yeah, he's, okay. He's still put together, man. But, yeah, he's trying to figure out where he knows me.
He tries to start conversations. I'm like, he's down there. He goes, no, I know him from somewhere. I'm like, I don't know how you know him, but I wish I knew also. I wish I could help you right now.
I wish I knew.
I want to run through a wall for that guy after that.
Yeah, no, it is an absolute scene out here, too. I'm so glad that the city is just getting behind this team. And hopefully everybody shows it. Because Murph had talked about it, Chew, and I'm sure you can talk about it too. Like, I feel the crowds during a regular season versus a postseason game are different too. And Murph has talked about how this team is fed off of really good crowds. So, you know, whether they're in the wild card round, whether they're in the divisional round, having, you know, a great crowd, a great loud crowd, just kind of gives you that energy in a game.
Well,
right?
You know what? They kind of put, I don't know if it's nerves, but they put me at ease a little bit because, and I think the fans are sitting there eyeballing this potential buy so much, and to hear Robin and Coach say, you know what, it's not a really big deal. I feel better. Do you?
I do. Like, again, with Robin Yount, like, When a baseball Hall of Famer and the best player in the history of a franchise goes, yeah, it's not that big of a deal if you get the buy or not, that does put me at ease. That's like, honestly, Chew, like, because of his backgrounds and his bona fides,
yeah,
I'm going to buy into that the same way I buy into the way you talk about Doug Peterson, and I just parrot everything you say about Doug anytime I do a national show and talk about the Jaguars.
Well, it's different in football. Me and Josh, you were talking about it during a break where, you know, you fight to get that buy. And the reason you fight to get that bye is the week off, and it gives you a chance to heal up as much as you can in that week. But knowing, Gabe, that when you do come out after a week off, there's going to be some rust, and you're going to start out slow. But I will take starting out slow over a good week of rest at that point in the season. And with baseball players, that really doesn't seem to matter. They just want to stay in their routine and rhythm and continue to play and continue to be sharp.
Yeah, because it's not as physically taxing, obviously, as football is. Not to say you're not going to have fatigue after a 6-month season, but it's about just kind of staying in that rhythm routine and trying to stay mentally sharp. Because I'm kind of floating in and out, not having to worry about anything for a week. Yeah, you're putting in the work, but it's different than staying sharp because you're playing in a 3-game series.
Yeah, I just think it's the fear of you lose and you're out. And I think it's compounded in football because it's only one game.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of three or seven or whatever it is. You always have a chance to come back and right the wrong.
Jason Wilde going to give us the latest on the green and gold as they get ready for their game in Tennessee against the Titans this weekend. Jason joins us next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at the Wisconsin Country Club. Join me out at the Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments ever, no food and beverage minimums, which are obviously great things when you're talking about a club. I enjoy being out there because I love the golf course. I love the range. I love the practice facility. I was just out there. Didn't have time to go out and play around yesterday, but I still wanted to hit some balls. We've got our Ryder Cup event happening out there this weekend, so I wanted to make sure I was sharp. Great practice facility, so I'm able to work on my game. But maybe you're looking for more than just golf out of a club. Don't worry, at the Wisconsin Country Club, we have pool, tennis, pickleball, themed Sunday fun days at the pool. So many great things happening. So join us. Find out more at thewisconsincountryclub.com.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the ultimate dude Friday, as I'm hanging out at the parking lot, American Family Field, for the Brewers drive-through tailgate, where fans have the opportunity to get a QR code to give them early access to postseason tickets, which go on sale at 10 a.m. today. Good morning, Jason.
Is Bernie with you?
No. So actually, Bernie is the one mascot I don't think I've seen. I've seen the Racing Sausages. Roscoe, the Admirals mascot, sat down next to me. We've had Pat Murphy on. We've talked with Robin Yount. I have not seen Bernie. That is the one missing mascot.
You talked with Robin Yount?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how the day started today. Yeah. That's how the show started.
Jeez.
A little jealousy?
No. Not a little. A lot. He's been on our show a couple of times, but he is like obviously just a bit outside the movie that Kelly Call helped produce, and it's he's my guy. Like, he's the one guy that I just grew up, and he was just my absolute hero. And so the times that I've gotten to talk to him, it's a little surreal because you talk to him like a regular dude, right? Like on a Dude Friday, and yet you also kind of feel like, okay, I can't believe I'm talking to this guy. So you try to be cool, and you try to seem like you're not awestruck. And I don't think I am anymore, but it's still hard. Like, you, especially after I watched the movie, like, you know, I just, you forget how nostalgic you are and how much that team meant to not just me, but everybody growing up in Milwaukee at that time.
All right, Jason, help me out here. I'm a little confused. Matter of fact, I'm very confused. How does Jordan Love is out there practicing, be it limited, and the line go up in favor of Tennessee?
Is he limited? That's the first I've heard of it. I'm so annoyed by that whole thing. Because, look, to me, I don't understand that either. I guess maybe it's because the folks that set those lines for recreation purposes only don't believe that he's playing, right? That, you know, the way the Packers have handled this in the unconvincing manner that they have pitched this limited line. I mean, it's so bad that when somebody asked LaFleur yesterday if Jordan was expected to practice today, he said, I don't know, we're taking it day by day, but I'm sure he'll be limited. Good one, Matt. But like, to me, the biggest thing and the reason why, if I was involved in setting the line, that I would maybe do what they're doing, is that if you thought he was playing, you wouldn't be talking this way. And it feels to me like they are intentionally hiding the fact that he's not doing team. That's my opinion. I don't have any evidence of that. Obviously, reporters are not allowed. They get kicked out of practice before the team periods start. So I don't have any evidence that I can use to back that up. But other than my spidey sense, which is if he was taking team, you would tell us, well, you know, he's taking a few team reps. We're working through it, and we got to get Malik ready just in case. So he hasn't gotten his full complement of team reps. That's why he's listed as limited. I'm sick of this spiel. And I think, you know, I think Rob would tell you too, that just because maybe last week wasn't a quote unquote charade, doesn't mean that he's going to play this week. I still think he's a week away.
Well, so do you think that's what we're going to go through? He'll be limited today. He listed as questionable today, downgraded to doubtful tomorrow, and then not play on Sunday. Is that the same game plan we're going to follow?
I think so. But again, I don't want to be like Mr. Know-It-All, who is just dismissive of the idea of him playing, because then I'm not doing my job either. I just keep going back to, you know, people that would have a pretty good idea of what the plan is, saying from the very beginning that he wasn't going to play in the next two games, and then that they were hoping that would be the Minnesota game. So, you know, he's missed one game. He certainly is making progress, the fact that he's able to be out there. But we did talk to Tom Clements yesterday, and again, there's part of me that does enjoy the cat and mouse game of trying to come up with ways to ask questions that maybe can get me some nugget of intel that makes me feel like, okay, they're kind of showing their hand a little bit here, right? And I thought in talking to Tom Clements, you know, about the challenges of getting Malik Willis ready and how important it is for him to get team snaps, like, it's Friday now, right? Like, it's Friday morning, and there's only a finite number of team snaps. And so you've got two guys that both need them. I don't care what you say about, you know, Jordan's been in the system and he's been here for 5 years, you know, plus. So he's been here for all of LaFleur's tenure. He knows the offense. In order to be able to play, he has to be able to, as we've heard many times, protect himself. And to me, that means being able to move in and out of the pocket more than anything else. And you can do some simulating drill work when you're doing footwork drills and stuff like that. But the bottom line is, it's not the same as reacting to a pass rush. And even if you're doing it with him wearing a red jersey in 11-on-11, that's a closer approximation to what he's going to have to do on Sunday than just going through drills where he's throwing routes on air and there's no rush whatsoever. So, again, he needed that work. I don't know if he's gotten it. And we all know that Malik Willis needs absolutely every snap he can get so he can be ready. So it's just, again, I do think that there's a charade aspect to it, even though that was a really good word by Rob earlier in the week.
Jason, who's been better at right guard, Ryan or Morgan?
Well, I'm not a connoisseur of offensive line play. I leave that to Brian Bulaga and the worldwide traveler that I normally do the show with. But I would say this. I think Sean Ryan is, and I'm not comparing him. Let me be very clear. Unlike the Tucker Kraft to Mark Chmura comparison, which continues to gain momentum and continues to be more and more accurate for all you jerks that made fun of me for saying it. I mean, they can't just a quick aside, they cannot stop talking about how far Tucker Kraft has come. Like, you know, you played at a low-level school like BC. He played at a low-level school like South Dakota State. And he was not, like, the fact that he had to make that jump, and obviously you played at major college football.
I don't go that far.
Well, maybe not major. but the fact that he really had a long way to go as a blocker, and he's traversed that distance, and now he's clearly better than Luke Musgrave is in that area, and that's why he, even when Musgrave played more against Indianapolis, Tucker Kraft still played 25 snaps more than he played. And they did a lot of two tight ends, right? Mm-hmm. And so how far he's come and the completeness of his game, the comparison to you is apt. Now, the comparison that I am not making, but the kind of stylistic comparison that maybe is accurate when it comes to Sean Ryan is Marco Rivera.
Okay. All right,
who was a you know, badass from Brooklyn who you did not want to mess with. One of my favorite, I don't know how I acquired this, but I have a signed 8x10 by Marco. I didn't ask him to sign it. I think I got it like a Goodwill. And it's a photo of a Tampa Bay Buccaneers player lying on the ground, and Marco has his hand, he's standing over him, and he has his hand in like the player's chest/throat area, which I'm sure he loved signing when somebody gave it to him. Like, oh yeah, it's beast. But Sean Ryan's got a little bit of that, right? Like he's a tough guy and he's really physical. He maybe isn't always the best technician, but the biggest thing with him, and I did ask LaFleur about this, is has he answered the bell enough from a conditioning standpoint that he can play every snap? Because remember, he got called out publicly by the head coach for not being in good enough condition. And if you're in a job sharing program, you have time to recover. If your guy that you're sharing the job with gets injured and now you got to play all the snaps, are you capable of handling that? And LaFleur did suggest that everything is on the table. That's what he said. So maybe he job shares with Jacob Monk if they don't feel like he can handle, you know, playing 65, 70 snaps if that's what they end up playing.
God, I got a great Marco story. Jason, it's epic. Can I tell it?
Yes.
So absolutely. Jason, Super Bowl 30.
When do you ask for permission to tell a story?
Jason, Super Bowl 32. You were there, right?
I was, indeed.
So this is earlier in the week, and we're staying at Torrey Pines. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't care. It's Friday. So, Jason, we go out, and, you know, we like to have fun. So
I've heard that about you.
We got a little pickled, and Marco got more than a little pickled. So we go back to the hotel to make curfew, and Marco, let's just say, starts running down the hallway in his underwear back and forth, right? He wasn't in his underwear. And Fritz Schirmer's wife pops her head out and goes, oh, Marco had no idea what he's doing. So Marco goes to bed, forgets it. We tell him the next morning. We go back up after breakfast. Marco is doing confession with Father Jim sitting on the bed. And Marco looked so disparaged. It was priceless.
Bless me, Father, for I ran up and down the hallway
in my birthday suit. Oh, I can still picture it in my head. It's beautiful.
Well, now I'm going to have to text Marco.
Tell him. Ask him how many Our Fathers he had to say.
That's what I will ask him.
Jason, what have you seen that you've liked from the defense and what needs to improve after 2 weeks?
So, Gabe, I know you know, you're a national radio host. You got a ton of things on your plate, so you don't have time to listen to all of the press conferences that we have with the assistant coaches. But yesterday, you know, Jeff Hafley talked, and I did, you know, I think, and obviously Anthony Richardson had his troubles, but I did see improvement from week one to week two. But the guy that, you know, I'm just, I don't want to be mean and I want to give him a fair shake. So I am holding off on joining the group of fans that seem to be out with pitchforks and torches about Quay Walker. And so I tried to ask the question of Jeff Hafley in a positive way, which was, Jeff, where do you feel Quay Walker is right now in your defense as compared to where he could end up, right? Because that implies that, you know, he had those two blow-bys where he basically, one he ran into a block. The other one, he took a circuitous route and ended up being taken out of the play. And I think one was a 17-yard run by Taylor. The other was an 18-yard run by Taylor. He drops an interception, takes a bad angle on Richardson on that fourth down run that he had late in the game. And so I wanted him to kind of address how he's playing without sounding like, well, this guy sucks, because I know there are those that feel that way. And I'll tell you what, Jeff Hafley, Rob and I were talking about it. His answers start out a little defensive all the time. He's a really defensive coordinator. And his response was, it's not where he could be, what he could be in this defense. It's what he's going to be in this defense. And he gave the most full-throated, strong defense of Quay Walker that he possibly could have given. And now I'm eager to see if by the end of the season he's proven right, because I still have my skepticism about whether or not he's going to be a difference maker. Can he be a serviceable linebacker? Sure. Do they maybe need to switch him and Isaiah McDuffie and change the roles so he's outside and he's flowing from side to side? I don't know. I'll leave that to Chewy. But the bottom line is, he's in his third year. He's in a new system. But I want a guy who's a first-round pick, just like A.J. Hawk had to deal with, even worse because he was a fifth overall pick. I want that guy to be a field tilter. And is Quay Walker a field tilter right now? No.
No.
He's not. No. So that, to me, that's the thing that piqued my interest the most about this defense.
But Jason, it's totally fair. This front seven has given up 5.1 yards per carry, and they have two sacks, and one was a gift. So the front seven is, through two games, has been very average. Would you agree?
Yeah. And look, Hafley's argument is that, you know, they faced two mobile quarterbacks, so they haven't rushed the quarterback the way they normally would. And I kind of want to say, yeah, but isn't, to varying degrees, don't all quarterbacks play that way now?
Yeah.
Like, certainly not to the level of Jalen Hurts, right? But, like, you know, then they were saying, like, you know, well, Will Levis can get out and run. Okay, so at what point are we going to get to, you know, Sam Darnold next week? Is he a guy that's enough of a primarily pocket passer that you can really get after the quarterback? Because their pressure numbers and their sack numbers aren't good enough. They just aren't. And whether or not there's a reason for that, I get it. But, again, that's where you affect the quarterback, and all the other things that you want to do defensively come from that.
Jason, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you shifting your time as well, so we, you know, we could accommodate Robin Yount coming on the show earlier today.
There aren't many people that I would do that for, but there's no doubt he's one of them.
Appreciate you, Jason. Look forward to everything you guys have to say coming up in 30 minutes on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
And there's going to be a lot of good sports this weekend, whether you're kicking back, watching baseball, whether you're going to be watching the college football, pro football, and nothing goes better with sports than pizza. You're going to be sitting watching all these games. You're going to want something that tastes great, and that's where Palermo's comes in, whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all of those part of the Palermo's family of brands. You are going to find a slice that fits your appetite. And how is Palermo's able to do this? They're able to have that many brands, and they all taste great? Yeah, they've been doing this for 60 years right here in Wisconsin, right here in Milwaukee. So, of course, they know premium frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we're just trying too hard when really it's closer than
relive the greatest postseason run in Milwaukee Bucks history with the Bucks in Six podcast. Bucks in Six presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run from 2021. From the thrilling seven-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece Giannis dropped in the finals, immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus audio network. Find it now at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts. We're hoping to get a memorable postseason run from the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm hanging out at the Brewers drive-through tailgates, where people have been driving through all day to get brats, to get flags that you can put on your car. So many cool things happening here at the ballpark and inside the parking lot at American Family Field. And I have been told that the way they were tracking on how many people have come through,
yeah.
Now they don't know how many they have left. But they prepared 5,000 brats.
Wow.
So, again, this thing is coming to an end here at 9 o'clock. So, in 23 minutes here, it's going to be ending. And I see the line is finally starting to die down here at AmFam Field. But 5,000 brats.
That's a lot of brats.
What they were expecting. So, if we get a final tally on that before the end of the show, I'll update you on that. But we were just talking with Jason Wilde. And do you have a different prediction for the Packers if Jordan Love plays or if Malik Willis plays?
Yeah, and I sent it in to Maddie. I'm surprised I haven't, well, maybe I have gotten grief, but I just haven't looked yet. And my prediction was with Jordan Love, they win 24-10. Without Jordan Love, they lose 17-14 in overtime.
That's right.
Going back to the well?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit it. Well. You know? I'm going to hit it one of these weeks. I didn't realize, Gabe, I did not realize that Tennessee is the number one defense in the league right now.
They've played some really good defense. Their biggest issue has been the turnovers by Williams.
Sure. But you know what? You think he's on a short leash? Because they do have Mason Rudolph. Does Mason Rudolph give them a better chance to win than Will Levis?
I think it's about the same. I mean, Mason Rudolph maybe takes care of the ball more, but I mean, they have to give Levis an opportunity to play and grow. Although, after what happened in Carolina, who knows what these NFL teams are thinking anymore in terms of when they're going to pull these young quarterbacks.
His coach did say he needs to be an adult because he's made the same mistake twice with throwing the ball while falling to the ground. So it seems like they're putting the pressure on him there.
Like, who has a better offense? I mean, you could say Tennessee obviously has a better defense statistically than Green Bay right now.
So if Jordan Love's playing, it's not even
No. I'm saying with Willis.
With Willis, I'm still going to say Green Bay because I think Josh Jacobs becomes the best offensive player for any team for either team.
I wonder what I'm sure there is a prop bet on Jacobs' yards this week. What do you think it would be? 120?
It was 100? 75.
75?
Yeah,
I can tell you this. Not with absolute certainty, but if it's 75, they're not winning the game.
What if it's 75 and Jordan plays?
Then they're winning the game.
Okay. But if it's 75 with Malik Willis, they're not winning the game.
No, just with the familiarity that Tennessee is going to have with them, with him. I have a tough time. I mean, Josh Jacobs, I think, would have to rush for 130 where I'd be careful, where I'd be comfortable saying, okay, it's going to be a tight one, but I think they can win.
To put it in context, the average number most running backs get is in the 75 range. You don't really predict for 100 yards in like the gambling props world, but I do agree with your sentiment that it needs to be well over 100 to win without
Jordan. Are we underselling Tennessee?
Maybe.
Again, I think their defense is really good, but I mean, because it's not just that Will Levis is turning over the football, it's the way in which he's doing it. You know, like just falling to the ground.
Yeah, stupid stuff. It kind of reminds you of Brett, you know, early on.
Yeah.
Just kind of a little too gunslingerish.
And to that point, Drew, because those two turnovers were very, I mean, the pick six he threw against the Bears, which lost them the game, and then it wasn't an interception. It turned out to be a fumble because as he was going down, he tried to underhand and throw it behind him to Tony Pollard last week. They were in the red zone. Like, yeah. They were knocking on the door, mm-hmm. potentially getting points. In both of those games ended up being decided by seven. So both of those crucial turnovers. So if he takes care of the ball a little bit and just, you know, takes the sack instead of trying to desperately get something flung out there, yeah, this is probably going to be a tight game. And the one thing I am watching, because I have been concerned about the run defense all year, and if we want to say, yeah, but Saquon Barkley's a top five back, yeah, but Jonathan Taylor's a top five back, if Tony Pollard rushes for over 100 yards this week, Jeff Hafley's going to have some splaining to do. Because Tony Pollard's not what he was 2 years ago in Dallas. He wasn't what he was 2 years ago in Dallas last year in Dallas. Like, he's an average running back, and if he's able to go up over 100 yards to help out his quarterback in this game, I'm going to be very concerned about the future of this defense.
But what happened to the, you know, stop the run on the way to the quarterback? I mean, he did say that earlier in training camp, didn't he?
Yep, he did. He did. That's kind of their way that they want to stop, you know, the run, and it just hasn't worked. Neither of those things have worked, too. They haven't gotten the quarterback. And I guess, Josh, because you have been one of these guys that has defended, well, they're kind of doing the mush rush. They want to keep the quarterback in front of them. Like, does that go out the window? Do they need to have sacks this week?
Oh, yeah. You need to see probably two sacks and, like, more consistent pressure. The Tennessee Titans right tackle is a fantasy analyst, and he's given up a bunch of sacks already this season. So Rashawn Gary needs to shine against that guy.
But Will Levis, I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's a big kid that can run. I mean, he has some aspects of Allen in Buffalo.
I would compare his rushing similar to Jordan's. That's not their preferred style,
sure.
But they will run, and they have no problem getting yards with their legs. But it is vastly different from the other guys. Like, those guys are threats to run, and they will turn even like a 10-yard gain into much more. Will Levis is what it is. You pin your ears back, and you get after him.
Yeah.
Because we've seen how he operates in chaos, and that's very poorly.
Well, how do you guys see this game playing out? Let's say if Jordan doesn't play.
So if Jordan doesn't play, I'm nervous. I mean, the Packers, even with Will Levis, I think have the better team. I feel better about them winning this week, but it's going to have to be you're going to grind it out again. I don't see them scoring 28 points. You know, if they can get to 20 this week, winning 20-16. Winning 20-17, something like that, if it's Willis. I mean, if Jordan plays, I feel a lot better. Just like you said yesterday, Chu, even if they're just running their basic stuff with Jordan Love, I feel light years better because you can at least push the ball down the field.
What's your gut telling you about Love, though? He's not going to play.
He's not playing. I don't think he's playing. I don't think he's playing.
I think they can add a wrinkle to this offense by using Malik's legs more, and there is added risks to that, but some of those designed carries, he's fast. He can run.
Josh, but here's the problem, I guess, is because they're not going to let him run wild this week. There's going to be an extra guy in the box.
Yeah.
Who's probably going to turn into a spy.
No, I agree. I just think that they kind of unloaded, like, I don't know how much more orbit motion and stuff you can do in, like, the strict run game they have.
Yeah.
The Packers had motion on, like, every run play except for two or three. I think you can use more Jaden Reed in those, like, tunnel bubble screens and more of that, like, reverse type stuff. But I think if you want to win and you're going to score points, you need Malik Willis to be upwards of 75 rushing yards.
Really?
I just think it adds a new dimension.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to see him air it out a little more than they did last week. Yeah. Try to get Watson involved
I'm
to soften them up.
I said this on the pregame show. I thought that Jaden Reed was going to have, like, 12 touches.
I did
and I
too.
Thought that's what they needed. I thought that's what they needed to win, not just necessarily runs, Chu, but just like those quick throws to the outside.
Yeah,
that's a way to get him the ball in space, and it's just an extension of the running game. I'm guessing you probably see more of that, especially if they're stacking the box. You try to throw the ball out wide quickly, and you know if he's got one blocker and then he's one on one with somebody, maybe he makes that miss and turns it into a 10-plus yard gain.
I'd bet they had more planned for Jaden Reed, but when running right at them worked for 250 yards.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, why get
when
cute?
When it worked for 50
sure, save it for next week.
Yeah, let's not bother.
Because how many jet sweeps? I remember the one to Melton where he really got nothing. He got stuffed.
Yeah.
Reed had like a 30-yarder right out to start the game there in none of the first two drives. But I think he only had two or three carries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he only had two. And I thought, yeah, my guess is Jaden Reed is going to have to be more involved, especially because, I mean, not that Marshawn Lloyd was big last week, but if you want to run the ball as much as they do, and I doubt, again, that they get to 50 carries, but if you want to run it 35 to 40 times, you're not going to give it to Josh Jacobs 30-plus times back-to-back weeks.
No.
Maybe 20, 25 carries.
And my guess
you're going to need those carries to go somewhere.
My guess, Gabe, that was not the game plan. It didn't become the game plan until they were gashing him with the run. You know, so LaFleur probably has a handful of plays in the kitties that he thought he had to run last week.
Yeah,
that he didn't. That he's probably saving for this week. So it, you know what, if Love isn't playing, this is another game where LaFleur's got to have a great game plan in order for them to score points and win the game.
If LaFleur's walking into Halfley's office going, how many points do I need to score this week? What's the answer Halfley's giving him?
17, 20.
Okay.
20 to 17 would be my guess.
All right. Yeah, that's because I think that comes down to it. I'm just, there shouldn't be anything about this Tennessee offense that really scares me, and I don't think that there is. Which is, if somebody goes off, then that's what's going to raise, to me at least, the questions going
forward. But it's a little different here now, Gabe, because you're on the road. You're on the road at a place where you had been for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, reports from coach down there.
My oldest said
it's going to be a hot pot.
You're waiting to give us the coach scouting report until 12 minutes before the week is over?
Well, I just asked him on weather. I said, how hot's it going to be? He said, they're saying 90s in a hot pot.
I do like you going to your sources on weather with a weather app right on your phone.
I don't trust the weather. I need boots on the ground. I need boots on the ground like my buddy.
Where do you think he got the weather report from?
Good point. Like my buddy, yeah, right? Yesterday? And I don't know if he's trying to bail on the Greece trip, but we're going with a couple from Florida who says, there's supposed to be a hurricane hitting here on Wednesday. I can't find evidence of a hurricane anywhere, and he did buy the insurance on the trip. So I don't know if he's trying to bail.
Well, I mean, if you need someone to go to Greece with you, big guy, I mean, I'll bite the bullet. I'll sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right. You've been there before. You could be our little tour guide.
Greece is fantastic. I think, especially once you get out to the islands, you and Angie are really going to love it. I guarantee you.
I'm excited.
All I'm seeing right now is a tropical depression approximately 420 miles from Busan, South Korea.
Is he bailing?
It sounds like a bail.
Kind of sounds like he's bailing. And as an expert bailer, Chew.
Yes, I know.
You sniffed out the bail right away.
And you know what this guy's nickname is.
What is it?
Angry.
Creative.
Hey, sometimes nicknames just need to be shortened to the point, Josh.
Exactly.
Shortened to the point. Tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokounmpo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversation. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation, we've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Love rolling into the weekend with this song. Tailgate is wrapping down the drive-through tailgate for the Brewers, celebrating being in the postseason once again. Playoff tickets on sale at 10 a.m., but if you came through and got your QR code, you could get them before the general public is able to in about an hour. I do see the barrel man, and I do see finally Chew Bernie Brewer. Said I didn't see him earlier. Now I see him hanging out here with all the racing sausages as the final few cars make their way through.
You think Bernie's a little bit of a diva since he kind of runs the show around there?
What, you mean he got to sleep in?
Yeah, a little high on his horse as the top guy.
I mean, but he is like the smallest of the mascots because, I mean, the racing sausages just tower over him.
Yeah, I guess it does make sense. Huh, interesting. I'd like to get to know Bernie.
He used to be my son's gym teacher.
Whoa.
I don't know if he still is, but he used to be in, I mean, this is 10 years ago?
Did he have the kids running laps in his outfit?
I can't remember if he was the one that called because my son decided to wear a Speedo at swim class.
And what's he wrong really with wearing a Speedo at swim class?
That's what I said. He really didn't care for my reaction because I basically said, and?
Yeah, I guess he's covered, right? What's the big deal?
Yeah. I mean, he wore a swimsuit for swim class. Like, what's...
He's confident in his body, kind of like his old man. Not as confident as Marco, but there is some confidence.
I mean, the confidence that you have in your body to wear a Speedo, like, there's only two reasons to wear a Speedo. One, you're a 10 out of 10 in the terms of confidence in your body, or you lost a bet.
Or you're from Canada.
Those are the only... What do you mean?
Canadians were
from Canada.
You didn't know? Every vacation I go on, Canadian, Speedo. They wear Speedo.
European.
They don't wear anything.
Wait, so you're going to go to Greece, and if you see someone in a Speedo on the beach, you're just going to assume that they're
not
Canadian?
Not there, but if you go to Mexico or the Caribbean, there's a good chance that they're Canadian.
When I say Speedo, I think like Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Or a bodybuilder or something like that.
A guy that's got his skin looks near leather because they just spend time.
Yeah, they sit out there.
On the coast all day.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I could wear a Speedo.
I was about to ask, have you ever worn a Speedo?
No. No. But I remember my one idiot son, you've seen Borat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Decided to walk out in the Borat suit at the lake and just got the point. I said, go back in the house now. We're not doing that. He seriously had the Borat little, what do they call that thing? The slingshot or whatever?
Oh, yeah, the banana hammock?
Yeah, it is. That leaves very little to the imagination.
They know the point.
Well, hopefully the Packers aren't getting the point. Hopefully the Packers are getting a win. Hopefully the Brewers are getting more wins. Thanks to the Brewers. Thanks to Robin Young. Thanks to Pat Murphy for having us out here for the drive-through tailgate. Wildy and Tausch coming up next.